Invite you to turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to this Matthew chapter 7. I intend this to be somewhat of a testimony this morning. Many of you have asked on several different occasions how Karen and I were doing, what the Lord has spoken to us, so on and so forth. Many of you, probably all of you, have expressed your sympathies and have told us of your prayers, and we'd like to take this opportunity to publicly thank you all for those prayers and let you know of a surety that they have been answered, that the Lord indeed has comforted our hearts and does continue to do so. And by saying that, I hope you won't shut us off from your prayer life now, thinking that all is finished. But it's, you would, as the Lord enables, keep us before the throne of grace. We would greatly appreciate that. So, being toward the end of the conference, you have to go through every day wondering if anybody's going to snatch your text. If somebody's going to preach what the Lord gave you, you know. So, it seems like I'm always here in this position at the end here, which I'm not complaining about. It's fine with me. I thank everybody for the privilege of sharing the Word of God with you. And thankfully, the Lord has preserved my text this morning. So, let's pray, and then we'll read the Word. Heavenly Father, we do delight to be in your presence this morning. We confess our love for you and acknowledge that it is because you loved us first. We're thankful for your great salvation that is ours through the finished work of Christ Jesus. We plead that blood now and ask for his glory and honor, that you would be pleased to meet with us, speak to us this morning through your word, that it would be empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish all your perfect will in the hearts of your people, that it might go abroad into the hearts of some who are yet in their sin and awaken them to their danger and bring them in repentance and faith, that they with us might rejoice in you this morning. We cast ourselves upon you, Father. We need your help. Our confidence is in you to meet that need this morning. Glorify yourself in these minutes to follow, for it's in Christ's name that we ask. Amen. Matthew 7, then, beginning in verse 21. Now, Lord, everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name doth many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Several things I'd like to point out from the verses that we've read. Beginning here, and probably the most important, is that salvation is of the Lord. It's not of man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who decides who's in and who's out, who's going to make the cut, who's going to appear before him in robes of righteousness and who's going to be cast aside. Salvation is of the Lord. I know we confess that. We all freely acknowledge it intellectually. Hopefully it is a stayed principle of our lives. Hopefully it governs our prayers. Hopefully it governs our speech, our actions. We are helpless before the Lord in the matter of salvation. We are free to make Jesus known, to proclaim Him. We should, and we do. And we glory to do so. And that's as far as we go. That's all we can do. Salvation is of the Lord. It's up to Him. And only Him. Secondly here, we see, again, the either or is, as I always say, the doctrine of twos. Throughout the Scripture, it's the doctrine of twos. There's only two possibilities. There's only the either or. That's all there is. Men, in their foolishness, constantly go about to establish some third category, some third alternative, either to comfort their own hearts before God or to comfort those who are grieving or for whatever reason. They may be good reasons in their own minds. But there are no three categories. You children, hear me today, please. There are only two categories. Saved and the lost, the righteous, the wicked. Converted, unconverted. That's all there is. Salvation is of the Lord. But what are we to make here? What about these two houses? What about these people that came before Christ and professed that they knew Him? What are we to make of these people? They did wondrous works. Now, I don't know, I guess there's several understandings of this, whether they simply professed to do these wondrous works or if they actually did them. It really doesn't matter. There's plenty of evidence in the Bible. Judas did wonderful works. He was a devil. Balaam prophesied for money. Always had his heart in the wrong place. Obviously, he wasn't a child of God, but God used him. He had a gift there. So right off, let's just say that these folks, they had a gifting perhaps. Let's say that they were used in this manner for some reason. What would it be? What would it be if we were to put it in our language? Lord, I put together marvelous sermons. I had every point of doctrine correct in my sermons, or my Bible studies, or my teachings, or when I proclaimed the gospel, I was 100% accurate in my proclamation of the gospel. I visited the sick. I was on a street corner, Lord, proclaiming Your word. I would have gone to any place, any foreign country, Lord, to serve You. Perhaps that's what we're seeing. That's what we're reading here. These folks built a house. But it didn't stand. And they didn't get in. And they were cast away. And why? Because the Lord never knew them. The Lord never knew them. And when you proclaim this text, when you preach here, everybody gets all scared. Oh, you're going to cause people to doubt their salvation. You're going to put doubts in people's minds. Am I really converted? How could I be converted when these people are cast aside? If that's going on in your mind and in your heart today, good. Puritans used to call that soul exercise. Examine yourself. Maybe you have never examined yourself. Maybe you've never looked at your own heart. Maybe you should. And there may be some poor introspective soul here that I am in danger of crushing here, and I am sorry. If that's you, forgive me. It's not my intent. But it is my intent to awaken us all to the seriousness of salvation. The difficulty, if you will. We're so glib, we're so foolish, really, in our attitudes towards God. This is serious business. Souls are at stake. Does God know us? Does Jesus know us? How many times has that question been put before us? We're always saying, do you know Christ? And it's a proper question. But people hear that and they think, yeah, I know all about Christ. That's not the question. Do you know Christ? Does He know you? What does this word know mean? Simply some kind of an intellectual head knowledge? That like we know some math problem? What does the Bible mean when it says, do you know Him? Does He know you? It's just another way of saying, do you love Him? Does He love you? Is He your all in all? Have you left everything to follow Him? Are you willing to come into His presence, humbly bowing before His feet, acknowledging, and not only initially, but acknowledging time after time after time, I've failed, Lord. I'm not what I should be. I need to change this, that, whatever. Now you notice these two houses are going to be tested. We're going to be tested. We're going to have the winds to blow, the storms to beat, the floods to come on our house. It's no strange thing. It's no thing that is unique to me. The death of my unconverted daughter is no strange thing. It's happened before. It'll happen again. The storms are coming. If you're so young that you haven't experienced any storms in your life, hear me. Will your house stand the storm that I guarantee is coming upon you? So what house are we going to build here? What does it mean, building a house? Well, Jesus Christ is called our hiding place. He's called the cleft of the rock. He is a safe place. And we build on that, on that love relationship that we have between Him and us. We build on that. Now, if you're thinking that this house is built out of good works, if you have some idea that if you just need to stay busy, you just need to be doing this and doing that, and there's never a time when you can just relax in the Lord. You know, so many pastors, that's their attitude. They run here, run there, do this, do that, hurry, hurry, hustle, bustle. They got so much to do. They get sidetracked into thinking that's something of virtue. No. Pretty soon they're as dry and cold as it can be because they've got no house. They don't ever go into their house. And they don't ever bring anything out for us. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with knowing God making Himself known to you. The sovereignty of God, that's a big plank in my house that I've built. God is sovereign in all things. He rules and overrules the whole universe. He named the stars. He knows my name. I'm not a stranger to Him. God's faithfulness, another plank in my house. I am unfaithful. He is faithful. He is everything in all things. I've learned never to worry, never to doubt His goodness and kindness to me, because He's always good and kind. And we could go on here. What? He's holy. All around is filth and decay. I go into my house and I meet with my holy God, who's so holy yet condescends to meet with such as I am. What a glorious thing this is. That's the house that we're building. We're building this house on the rock of Jesus Christ. And when the storms come, we run into that house. And it stands. Now you can profess Christ all you want, and that's not going to get it. What are you going to do? What are you going to live for? What is your life? You have abundant life that you've been promised. Well, how does it show itself? What about it? Yeah, I'm not saying that we can always just sit in our house. We take that out of our house and we live it out. That's the point. That's the purpose. If you stay in your house all the time and you never share anything that the Lord has given you from your house, what? That's not honoring to God. That's not going to stand the test of time either. Christians are active. Christians are doing. They want their God to be worshipped everywhere. They want other people to know their God. They love their God so much they can't help but tell other people about Him. It's just who we are. All of these things, they are one thing. If you don't have these things, you have nothing. And on that day, Christ is going to say, I never knew you. It doesn't matter. I've said this before. Excuse me. I know I've said it 1,000 times in Sunday school. It doesn't matter what you did 20 years ago. I'm not even interested in what you did 5 years ago. What are you doing now? You know, Melanie made a profession of faith. Did you know that? Melanie was baptized. Melanie had a Bible. Melanie had a notebook. Melanie read her Bible. Many of you have done the same thing. Many of you have made a start. I baptized a number of you. What about it? Everything's okay now? You're just going to coast through the rest of your life? You accomplished what you set out to accomplish? You think you escaped hell? Be warned. Make your calling and election sure. I ask you the question, does God know you? It says here at the end that they were astonished at Christ's teaching. It says they were astonished. Now, that could be good, it could be bad. You can be astonished at something in a bad way. It leads to anger and rage, and who does he think he is? That's astonishment. You can be astonished in a good way. Hopefully, you've been astonished by the teaching that you've heard this weekend. I know I have. It's been remarkable to me. The way God spoke, the progression of God's speaking, the answers to prayer. We gathered in the prayer room, and we prayed, and we saw God answer those prayers. You can ask some of the others that were there. God answered prayers already. We want that to continue. We hope that God will continue to answer the prayers. And how the teaching just right in line. It was astonishing. But what? Okay, we've been astonished. We've been amazed. Maybe we shouldn't have been, because isn't our God great? Isn't that our profession? God is great. He reigns. He rules. Why do we find it so astonishing that He answers our prayers? It's almost sinful. It's almost an admission of our doubting our prayers. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with this teaching that we heard? We heard teaching throughout this weekend that you can build your house on. Yes, you can. You know, I should have said, when I was building my house, when I was a convert, I had the most fun. We think of building a house of like it's work or something, like it's drudgery. Hopefully that's not what we think here in this house, in this occasion, because it's a delight. It's a wonder. Every day is new, finding out something new about the Lord, a new thing that He has for you, testing Him, proving Him, putting it into practice in your life and seeing Him meet you there. In that endeavor to please Him. It's a glorious thing to build a house. Forgive me for not mentioning it. I should have. And I hopefully have corrected that. But you've got building material here. Is it going to affect us? In other words, is our astonishment going to lead to some positive reaction? Are we going to put it into practice? Are we going to be hearers of the Word and doers also? You know all the cliches. You know all the verses. You know, sometimes I get afraid to hear any more messages. Enough! How am I ever going to do all this? The Lord directs us, helps us. Can't do it all at once, obviously. But we start. We make a start, a good start. We start building a house if you've never started. If you young children have never started to build your house, now is the time to build it. Now is the time to make habits for life. It's not something, oh, it's okay, put it off. Just put it off till later. I'm just a kid. No. Exactly wrong. You're just a kid. Spend your youth upon God and Christ. Don't waste your youth on your stinking selves. I did it. What would I be today had I not wasted the first 25 or 4 years of my life? Don't follow that example. Serve Christ now. Build your house now. You're never going to have more time. What hinders you? Nothing. I'm just going to say, I'm going to apologize. I'm going to say it. I've got to. Where were you guys when we met for prayer? Where were you youngsters? They claim to know the Lord. Are you out playing? You'd rather play? You'd rather be in the world? I'm just a kid. Yeah, you're God's kid, supposedly. We had young people in there. It was a delight to hear them pray. But we didn't have younger people. Where were you? What have you done this weekend besides sit here and listen to messages? Did you speak to some of your unconverted brothers and sisters? Did you tell them what the Word means to you? What these messages meant to you and how you wish that they would take it seriously? Do you witness to your brothers and sisters? Are you concerned for them? You're God's. You're responsible. Build your house. Make your calling and election sure. God will meet you in your need. God will help you. Just got to get up. You just got to do it. You just got to go. We heard a message on authority, and that's where this particular text ends, and that is that Christ taught them as having authority. Well, let's hope that Christ has authority in your life, if you're His. Again, we intellectually, don't we just automatically clicks on and off. Yeah, Christ, of course, yeah, the Bible, sure, that's our authority, yeah. Sometimes we say, well, I'm not sure the Bible speaks to that. You know, we get real scholarly. We want to put up a little defense for ourselves. No. I know of no area that the Bible doesn't speak to, either directly or through principles and precepts. What kind of a God would leave us without principles, precepts, or straight-out commands? There's no doubt about what we have to do or what we shouldn't do or anything else. There's no doubt about who God is. There's no doubt that salvation is of the Lord. There's no doubt that God is sovereign in all areas. There's no doubt that He loves us. That He loves us with a special love if we're His children. A differential love. Not like He loves the rest of the world. If that doesn't humble us, then we don't understand the truth. What makes us to differ? The Lord God Himself. Not anything we are, or have done, or will ever do. But the fact is, the Bible tells us that it's true. Is that the message that we proclaim? Is that the gospel we preach? I hope so. Look, I gotta hurry on here. I'm gonna look at John. John 10. If you're not familiar with John 10, shame on you. One of the greatest Bible passages there are. So, read it. Read it again and again and again. Beginning in the first verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a verse, what a chapter. The shepherd, all kinds of shepherds put their sheep in the sheepfold. In other words, they're all mixed up in there for the night, and they're closed in. And the good shepherd comes to this sheepfold, and the porter recognizes him, and he opens the door. Now, we could make who this porter is and what that means and all that. You know, maybe it's the one who preaches the gospel. Maybe it's the one who opens the door of the gospel message to these sheep. But be that as it may, the door is open. And Jesus calls His own. And they hear His voice. And they answer and they come out. They come out from among the sheep. The ones that are not His own, they don't hear His voice. He's nothing to them. He's not precious in their hearing. His word means nothing to them. But the ones who are His hear His voice and come to Him. And what does He do? Give them a boot on your way? No, of course not. That's not the good shepherd. He goes before them. He leads them in all the right places, in all the right circumstances. He knows exactly what He's doing. He's led me. He's led Karen. He's brought us to this spot. He's a good shepherd. We'll not turn away now. It's glorious. Salvation is of the Lord. We could reread on. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which were spoken or spake unto them. Then Jesus said again unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He that is an hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and he cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and what am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, that's you and me, that's the Gentiles, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. It's the gospel. We just read it. Did you hear it? Did you have ears to hear this morning? Christ came for His sheep. Christ died for His sheep. Christ calls you now to believe on Him and be saved. Now! Why delay? Why do you wait? Why do you refuse Him? He's the good shepherd. I've testified to you. He's been good all my life. I've never been disappointed yet. How can I say such a thing? My daughter lies in the grave. For all I know, apart from Christ, my shepherd is a good shepherd. He loves me. He brought us to this place. And we will follow Him and leave it to Him. Why will you delay? You don't have tomorrow. You've heard it 1,000 times. You don't have tomorrow. You only have today. That's all any of us have. Of course, the Jews, I got to close, but the Jews here, they got all mad. They got all upset, like they always did. They couldn't hear. They wouldn't hear. Their sin clogged up their ears. And He says to them, verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me. But you believe not, because you are not of My sheep. As I said unto you, My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow Me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Listen to this. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. And oh my, the Jews got mad again. Took up stones to kill Him. Now you may not take up stones. You may just be sitting there. But you know you're doing the same thing. Melanie did the same thing. Every unconverted person does the same thing. They'd rather have this man dead than to follow Him. Please, I implore you, do not waste the opportunity. Do not waste the day that the Lord gave you today. Examine your hearts. Be changed if you're His. Be willing. Build your house. Prove the Lord. If you don't know Him, in other words, if you don't love Him today. Acknowledge Him today. Receive from Him eternal life, and that abundantly. And follow Him all your days. You lose nothing. You gain everything. I love you folks. I really do. It's a privilege, really, to be here. I want you all saved. I want you all in heaven with me. Let's pray. Oh, Father, help us. Be merciful. Awaken the dead, Father. Speak into hearts. Make these bones live. Oh, Father, grant repentance and faith to some who are yet in their sin today. Would you magnify yourself in the midst of your people? Glorify yourself, Father. Expand your kingdom. Oh, help us as your children never to doubt. Never to doubt your goodness, your love for us. Speak into the hearts of your children, Father, and make us strong and brave and courageous, full of love and confidence to you. Thank you again, then, for this opportunity to be in your presence. May we never tire coming into your presence, being in your presence, serving you, receiving from you. Forgive us for any lukewarm coldness even, Father. Make us white hot for You, always and forever. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.